Good morning. It's good to see everybody here on this nice, almost brisk Sunday morning, first Sunday of October. Glad you are all here. Did you notice the bell out front? I tell you, ask not for whom it tolls for thee. Come to church. It was a gift of Bob and Mary Hubbs. Thank you very much, wherever you're sitting these days. And there they are, right there. And then Roger Rollins did all the welding on that thing. And I understand he had to go back to school, brush up on a few things, learn how to weld again. It's always good to have a backup plan in retirement, Roger, you know. He did it all. Y'all just bought the bell. All right. Well, to all of you, thank you so much. That is a wonderful thing. And let's see, we do want to recognize that today is World Communion Sunday, hence the colorful display on the communion table. We are celebrating communion with all Christians all around the world. It's the one thing that Christians can agree on is that communion is good. So let us be thereby instructed and encouraged. If you are wanting to be involved with the youth or the children of the church, please plan to attend the Child Protection Policy Review session today, immediately following worship in Hollis Hall. This is a requirement if you're going to be working with children. It's not a suggestion. It's not a polite nod of the head. This is a requirement not only of the church, but also of the presbytery, the synod, and the general assembly. So please be thereby informed. Going to be a congregational meeting on Sunday, October the 15th, and Sunday, October the 29th, for the purposes of electing a nominating committee and then receiving nominations to serve as elders. So this is the official notice of those two congregational meetings, and please plan to attend those very important things in the life of our church. Now, next Sunday, another important thing, second Sunday lunch. Always a good time of food and fellowship, and all calories are banished by order of the Lord. So we are looking for liturgists at lovely Alice Inslee is serving today, and we would like to have other smiling faces up here as well. If you feel so led or so encouraged or so manipulated by family, friends, etc., we would love to have you up here. And yes, I will help you with the pronunciation of Hebrew words, so don't be afraid of that. And finally, Miss Vicky has instructed me. She said, as I was leaving today, don't you say a word about the Georgia-Auburn game. Now, you have to understand, Miss Vicky is a diehard Auburn fan, and her heart remains in Auburn, but her daddy's wallet is buried in Athens. So, she having said, do not say a word, I will not say a word about the outcome of the game yesterday. But if I were to say a word, that word would be woof. Having concluded announcements, let us worship God. The peace of Christ be with you all.
We are come to the water's edge.
We are come to the moment of decision.
The grace of God is a mighty flood.
The love of God is a gentle stream.
The wisdom of God surpasses the depth of the ocean. Such is our call, and such is our need. Let us worship God, and let us pray. Keeper of our days and author of our dreams, show your compassion and grace as we, your children, pause to pray. Settle our anxious spirits and set our vision upon you. Banish the distractions and speak your words of love to our bitter and scarred hearts. Turn us from bitterness and guide us to the sweet waters which flow from your providence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. Complaint is our common denominator, O Lord. We take what we have for granted and covet the blessings which you bestow upon others. Speak, we pray, words of compassion and contentment to our souls. Focus our energies to the good of your kingdom rather than the greed of our desires. In so doing, we become fit servants and loving siblings. By the power of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Now we'll have our time with the children. I'll ask the young folks to join me up front, please.
All right, Diana, you are here. Yes. Okay, we got somebody else coming. All right, come on up. Good to have everybody. Now, do y'all know the drill? I say good morning, and then as loud as you can, you say good morning back, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh boy, there's power in numbers. Yes. Makes me kind of happy. I left the hearing aids at home today. All right. Well, today is a very special day in the life of the church. Do you see how the communion table has every color of the rainbow on it? Yeah, say NBC lost their peacock, and that's where it landed. Boy, and the reason we're so colorful today is this is World Communion Sunday. So we've got international flavors on the table, and we have our usual communion elements, and it's festive and it's wonderful. And the reason we're doing that today is because today, in all the churches all around the world, everybody is celebrating communion. And that's an important thing because, you see, the Church of Jesus Christ is so different in so many places. This is the one thing we all do together. And the reason we do it is because Jesus told us to. He said, you do this service, you do this in remembrance of me. And so all of us agree, communion's a good thing. It's the one thing that holds us all together when everybody has different ideas of how they should do church. But today, we do this all together. And it's a good thing because it reminds us that there is more that unites us, more that puts us together than there is that divides us. The one thing we all believe in is Jesus Christ. And that's really all you need to know. A long time ago, one of the prophets said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, not ought to be, the one thing we hold in common. We all call on the name of the Lord, especially when we're celebrating communion. Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the goodness of this day, for the fact that we unite our hearts and our minds with all of your children everywhere who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Help us to remember that there is indeed more that unites us than there is that divides us. And let us give thanks for all of the different ways your churches worship. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay, see you next Sunday.
Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Listen for God's word. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, choir. First time I learned that song, I was in Vacation Bible School at North Avenue Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, and I still have the little ceramic walrus which I glazed in a color not seen in nature, and my teacher was Mr. Penhaligon that season. He terrified me, but thank you anyway. No, it was wonderful. Thank you so much. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew. We are reading from the 21st chapter, verses 23 through 32. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you a question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" Excuse me, old scratch is hard at work. "Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go to work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for your word which comes to us. Grant that as it comes, we may hear and obey and cherish each word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, we have three very rich passages before us today, each one of which would be worthy of a sermon lasting, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. So we might have 6 hours worth of sermonizing right here. But being a man of great pity and respect, I shall not thus inflict you. Instead, I will try to pack 6 hours of theology into a 15-minute sermon. Buckle your seatbelts. No, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure not to torment you thus. So, when our curtain opens today, we see the Israelites and Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the people all stuck in pretty much the same place they were last week when we left them. Remember, they were complaining that they were hungry, and so the Lord provided manna, and he provided quail, and they were able to eat their fill. But today, they're complaining, well, we're thirsty. We're out here in the middle of the desert, and we got plenty to eat, but we got nothing to drink. And they go and they complain to Moses. And Moses, of course, turns around and complains to God. And God says, okay, here it goes. Take that stick, your walking stick, the one you separated the Nile with, and go to this big rock. Take the elders with you as witnesses. And I want you to hit the rock with the stick, and water's going to come forth. And behold, just as happened with the manna and the quail, so it happened with the water. Now, the rabbis tell us in the commentary on this passage that the rock didn't just stay there. I think I told you last week that, according to them, the rock followed the Israelites throughout the desert during the entire time of their sojourn to the Promised Land. I'm just selling it the way I bought it. Okay, I have no opinion one way or the other on the mobility of the rock. But I do have an opinion about the murmuring Hebrews, as they are so often called in Scripture, the complaining Israelites. And that is, we do well not to despise them because we are them. Social science tells us that the average human being complains 30 times in one day. Think about that. Now, there are some people who bring that average down. And there are others who raise that average up. I'm thinking of, did anybody here watch Seinfeld some years back? Was that a big show with us? Not so many. A few of you just lying. Okay. George Costanzas, remember him? Always complaining. And then for those of us who are of the boomers, what about Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore, who's always saying, "Well, I don't know. I don't want to do that, but I suppose I will." And perhaps for the even younger crowd, how about Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street? Never has a bright moment. And there are some people like that that we all know who pitch their lives in a minor key and drive the rest of us absolutely nuts. I try to avoid people who complain too much because they have a tendency to bring me down. And so when I get to the passage on the murmuring Hebrews, I tend to move through it very, very quickly, realizing that we're all there. We all create the bitter waters of Massah and Meribah by virtue of our sometimes incessant complaining. And let's not pretend that we don't complain to God. We do. There's a story of her name's gone out of my mind. But one of the late medieval saints, she was driving with her entourage of nuns. She was a nun, abbess, as it were. She was driving through the pouring rain, and she came upon a stream, and they drove the carriage across the stream, and one of the wheels fell off, and she was dumped into the stream. And she cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, why did you do this to me?" And the Lord replied, "This is the way I treat all my friends." To which she replied, "That's why you have so few." Okay. This is in the documents of the Christian church. You can look it up. So there we are. It is of our nature to complain. And 2,000-3,000 years later, the story is the same. And Paul, if you look at our epistle passage for today, this is not necessarily a loving text. If you look at the background of what's going on, people are doing exactly what he tells them not to do. They are acting out of selfish ambition. They are looking for ways to snipe at each other. They are looking for ways to climb up on top of the shoulders of each other. And Paul is taking them to task. He's saying, "Don't do that." He said, "Think about the model of Jesus Christ, who, though he was the Son of God, did not think of equality with God to be a thing to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself out." What Paul is saying here is, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Think of the example of Jesus Christ. And then at the end of this ancient hymn, he says, "As you did in my presence, so much more also do in my absence." The phrase that comes to mind here is, when the cat's away, the mice will play. They would do well to say among themselves, "We done been caught." Paul's saying, you better behave yourselves. Much more in my absence. Behave yourselves like you do if I was sitting there. You know, my parents said the same thing to me when I was left in charge of my brother and my sister. You better behave as if we were right there watching you, because we know where the hairbrush is. Told you about the hairbrush, which got very little use since my father was bald, but was used as an instrument of correction. I still refuse to have a boar's hair hairbrush in my house. Behave as if I were right there in the midst of you. Quit the complaining. Quit the manipulating. And then in our gospel lesson for today, one of my favorites, Jesus goes before, well, actually, he doesn't come before them. They come before him because he's teaching in the gospel. In the temple, Jesus is occupying the temple, and the rabbis and the elders come to him, and they say, let us ask you a question. By whose authority are you doing this healing? By whose authority are you doing this teaching? And Jesus says to them, I'll ask you a question first. This baptism of John, was it of heaven or of human origin? And they knew, just as their question was a trick question, so this was a trick question from Jesus. Because they knew either answer they gave would be a trap. If they said that the baptism of John was of human origin, then that would make the masses mad because the masses believed that John was a true prophet. If they said it was of divine origin, then Jesus would say, why don't you follow him then? They were in a no-win situation, and so they conferred among themselves, and they finally decided the only thing we can say is we don't know. And so they did, and Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to answer your question either. Kind of like one-upsmanship on the playground, isn't it? And then Jesus goes on to spin this parable in light of what they had said. He says, father had two sons. Very familiar topic. Father had two sons, and he also had a vineyard, just like we had last week in the sermon. Said to the first son, go out and work in the vineyard. The first son said, I will not. And then maybe he kind of felt sorry about treating the old man thus, and he thought about it. And he took off his party clothes and he put on his overalls and he went down to the vineyard and worked. Meanwhile, the father, feeling somewhat put out with the first son, goes to the second son. Son, go work in the vineyard. He said, I'll be happy to. And he never leaves the video game console. Jesus says to the gathered crowd, who did the will of the Father? And they said, well, the first one, the one who said no and then eventually went. And Jesus has got them now. He said, let me tell you something. Those tax collectors, those prostitutes, those unclean people who have said no to God in your eyes will be going before you into heaven because they eventually turned around and did what God commanded. But you Pharisees, you Sanhedrin, with your American Express gold cards labeled Kingdom of God, well, all that's kind of going to be taken away from you because you said yes to God, but you never moved. You never did what God commanded. And so the others will take precedence over you. The lesson here is one of grace. John the Baptist came and told the people, you need to repent. He told tax collectors and soldiers and prostitutes and all of the unclean types of the world, the sort of sordid of humanity, be baptized, repent, and enter into the gates of paradise. And they did. All those unclean people. And then Jesus came and he took on the righteous. He took on the leadership. He took on the ones who were in charge of everything. And he challenged them. And he told them, you know, John was right. Salvation comes by grace, not by saying yes and then doing nothing. Salvation comes to all of the children of God, even the ones who denied him at first and yet lived their lives on the basis of God's love and God's grace. They eventually say yes, not necessarily but by their words, but by their deeds. And they're going to be leading the parade into the kingdom of God. Well, people still complain about that. There are still those within our denomination, well, within Christendom, actually, who say there are classes of Christian. There are professional Christians. There are shining Christians who will be leading the parade. I'm kind of glad I'm not one of those. Every day, I stay humble because I've got so many good reasons to. And if I ever run short of reasons, Miss Vicki is there to supply more. But grandmother was sure that those who played cards on the Sabbath would not make it into heaven. Those who went to movies on Sunday, well, that's an automatic go to hell. Those who read paperback novels at any time during the week, well, that's just sordidness on your soul. And she had a great joy in reading the obituaries of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and checking off who made it to heaven. And she put a big zero by those who she was sure didn't. I hope Grandmama made it to heaven. If it's based just on works and attitude, I think she made it. And I hope that when I get to see her again, she won't be reading the Journal Constitution and giving out checks and zeros. I think she's going to be more surprised by who is there than who isn't. I suspect most of us will be, because God's grace is broad enough to cover all of us. The trick is to live out of it and not get stuck swimming in the bitter waters of complaint and controversy. It says it in the Bible so simply, and it says it in a song so simply, and I cannot improve upon that theology, even if given 6 hours. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Friends, I'm sorry. It just don't get no better than that. Let us pray. Almighty God, with grateful hearts we come before you, knowing that you love us. Help us to love you in the same way. And help us to live together in peace with one another. And grant that we may find at the end of the day magnificent surprises as to whom you have redeemed and brought into the fold. Grant this, we pray, by the power of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today's affirmation of faith is the Nicene Creed. It is the creed most commonly used throughout Christendom and one of our most ancient. Let us join with the children of God around the world, declaring what we believe. Children of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, from whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
so we proclaim your glory as we sing to your name.
Thank you.
having feasted upon the word and the sacrament, you have now empowered us to go forth and to serve. Help us to remember that we are your anointed ones to go forth into a world which is sometimes marked by complaints and despair, disillusion and warfare. Help us to be the yeast, the leavening which brings forth the growth of the kingdom. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In peace, not complaining any more than you have to, looking for beauty and joy and happiness and peace, for in so searching, you will find your heart is lightened and your soul will soar, and all of your body will give praise to your Creator. Look forward to joy and love and peace, and follow that path wherever it may lead, for it leads to the kingdom of God. And now unto God the Father who created us, God the Son who came to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all, be all honor, glory, dominion, and praise, now and forevermore. Amen.